Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9 and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Those three components, power, love, sound mind. Sound mind is what we talked about last week. Remember, fear is a spirit. Whenever you're afraid and whenever you want to shrink back and you feel intimidated, that's another spirit on the scene there. So you need to identify that and say, uh-uh. Because what you fear will come to you. What you fear, if you're afraid you're never going to get out of debt, you're going to stay in poverty. If you're afraid you're going to end up in a nursing home early in your year and spend the rest of your time in a nursing home, that's what you're going to do. What you fear will come to you. It's like a magnet that draws it to you. So we got to understand this thing with fear. Job said, that which I feared the most has come upon me. So we want to get fear out of our life. It's never okay to be afraid. People say, well, now some things, you got to be smart about it. You know what? Not fear. You can be bold and you can put faith in this thing, right? And that's how we overcome, is by faith, with faith. Last week we talked about a sound mind. It's important to have a sound mind. What's a sound mind? It's having the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. We have the mind of Christ. If you're a born-again child of God, you have the mind of Christ. That's what he's calling you to live out of, is that mind of Christ. In Philippians 2, it says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others better than himself. Let each of you not only look out for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, that's a sound mind. You can have a sound mind standing in the unemployment line. You can have a sound mind if your husband leaves you all the time. You can have a sound mind no matter what. See, the idea is if you have a sound mind, no matter what comes, you're going to be stable and be able to get through it. That's a manifestation of no fear in your life. You're trusting God. In Isaiah 33, I believe it's verse 6, it says, wisdom and knowledge will be your stability in your times. In your times. Wisdom and knowledge, talking about wisdom from God and knowledge from God, is going to be what makes you stable in your times. The times we're in right now. What's a sound mind? He says in Colossians 3, he says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3, verse 2 and 3. So now think about this. Your life is hidden. How do you bring that out? As God gives you revelation and you discovering and uncovering your life, you're becoming you, the authentic you. And that is a sound mind. When you are becoming the real you, and that takes seeking the Lord and pursuing him with all your heart. You're becoming what you're created to be. You're becoming the original. You're answering the call of God on your life, and you're finding your gift. So that's what we've been talking about. Fear comes to stop our gift. We all have a gift. Romans 11, 28 and 29 says the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. They can't change. So we're born into this world with a gift. And God had a plan before you showed up in your mother's womb. And so that's why we have to understand. And all the things that have happened to you have really come to try to abort what God had planned for you to fulfill in this life. Everything negative that's happened to you has come to try to stop that gift and to keep it from manifesting in this life. You are not a product of your parents. You are a product of God. The Bible says you're born not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed through the Word of God. You're born of God. That's the idea. When we understand that, that brings stability in your life. So now, the gift is developed and the calling is developed in the body. Remember? 1 Peter 4:10, it says that each one of us has been given a gift, and he says, steward it and minister it to one another. So as we discover our gift and we're discovering and uncovering who we are, we start serving in the body. We're serving our gift to one another. You see that? And as we serve that, that's helping us to become who we are. That's why it says in Ephesians 4, by which every joint supplies according to the effective working that you may grow up in him. See? The joint supplies, the joints are the relationships in the body, and it supplies you what you need to grow up. The relationships you connect with in the body, where they've got their gift and they're ministering it to you, that's supplying you with what you need to grow up and become you. Because God designed it that way. Remember in Ephesians 4, but each one have a walk worthy of your calling, with all what? Lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, for there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is rich to all who call upon him. For how shall they call upon him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe upon him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. I tell you what, I got some pretty feet this morning. Are you with me? I'm preaching the gospel of peace. You see, when you have peace, you are free from agitation and worry and troubles because you got peace. And that's on the inside of you. That's not conditioned on what's out here. That's on the inside. And when you understand, when I'm in that calling, I have peace. I have peace within. That's the kingdom of God in you. And wherever you go, you serve your gift, and people are elevated by that. Come on, am I making sense? Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read there. We're going to read verse 6 through 13 real quick. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the patterns of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and in love which are in Christ Jesus. So we've been talking about discovering our gift, and everyone has one. You all have a gift. And when you discover your calling and your gift, that's where you're really discovering who you are. When you're uncovering what was hidden in Christ, in God, you're uncovering it. It's becoming known to you. You know it. And so that's what's important. When we get a hold of that, life changes. Now look what he says. I am giving you the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And then he says, verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God. Share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God. When I became a believer, I remember hearing the gospel and hearing it at times that, you know, you're going to have peace. Your life is going to be better. I mean, it's just going to change everything. And life is going to be good. And that's how it was marketed and shared. Anybody ever heard it that way? But they didn't tell me that there was going to be sufferings. They didn't tell me there was going to be afflictions, because some of yours says afflictions there, sufferings or afflictions. They didn't tell me that was all going to be there. I didn't know that I was going to have to go through what I've gone through and what I'm going through. But now, he says, share with me in the sufferings. In other words, Paul was admonishing Timothy. He's telling Timothy, I'm passing the torch on to you. Timothy was Paul's predecessor. He's telling Timothy, he's saying, you got this gift in you. And because you have this gift, sufferings are going to accommodate it. When you discover this gift, and when you begin to discover who you are, now you pose a real threat to the enemy. When you're giftless and you don't know your gifting, and you're not any threat to the enemy. No threat at all. He doesn't care if you're a believer. He just doesn't want you to be an effective believer. Remember, we're talking about the effectual call. And that's what God has called us to, an effectual call. There's the general call, and there's the effectual call. When my dad answered the effectual call, or the general call, he got saved, he asked Jesus in his heart, but he didn't go on and get into a word church and remain under the word of God and answer the effectual call. The effectual call comes by the word of God being spoken over you, and you hear God calling you, and you answer that call, and you stay in the body, and now that gift is coming out, and now you're becoming what God created you to be. You see that? That's the effectual call. So that's what Timothy was doing. He was answering the effectual call. And Paul was telling him, you know, there's going to be sufferings. But now look at this. He says, share with me in the sufferings for what? The gospel, according to the power of God. Now think about this. Let's say Bill Gates. You all know Bill Gates. He's probably one of the wealthiest men in the world. Okay, he says, Fred, I'm going to write you a check out of my account. I mean, you know, yeah. You see what I'm saying? My mind started going, I'm going to buy me some property. I'm going to build me a big church, right? Big building. We're going to be able to take Sydney because Bill Gates is going to give me something out of his account, right? Well, then the check comes in the mail, and it's for $3. Well, anybody can give you $3, right? That's because he sent me a check out of his account. See, I'm making a point. But now, what if he says, Fred, I'm sending you a check in according to my account, my wealth. That's what I'm sending you. You know what? You'll get a check of blank checks to meet every need you have. That's what according means. See? Share with me in the sufferings according to the power of God. For the gospel, see, you need power because the gospel is going to bring things in your life that you don't understand where they're coming from. But you still have power to rise up and get through it and it not take you out. Am I making sense? He gives you power according to the gospel. In other words, you got power. In other words, everybody's opinion doesn't matter to you what they're saying about you. Doesn't matter what they're saying about you in Walmart when you walk in or the restaurant and back there whispering in the corner. That doesn't matter because you got power in you and you know it's being revealed to you that you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're just putting light on what they're not doing. Huh? That's what's going on. And that's why they attack and that's why the first thing they'll attack is your character because that embodies the gift. And that's what we have to understand. We have to grow in the character. That's why it happens in the body of Christ. It happens in the body. It's developed in here, in the body. So, according to the power of God. Oh, I need me some power. How about you? Go with me to Matthew chapter 20. See, people get comfortable in the familiar. And that's what stirs them up. When you show up, you make them uncomfortable. That's why you don't get invited to some of the family functions anymore. Because you make them uncomfortable. If you would just grab a brewski and just sit down and just, you know, hey, you know, you fit right in. Hey, you're coming. Come on, man. You know, come on in. Because, see, they get comfortable in their misery and they're familiar. You see that? But you see, somebody who's progressing and somebody who's really going forward and discovering who they are, you make those people nervous that aren't going there. Just your presence. You don't even have to say anything. Here we go. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Verse 26. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Let him be your servant. Now, what is going on here? The mother of Zebedee's sons are James and John, the disciples. And they have gone to their mother and they said, you know, I believe, I'm kind of paraphrasing and putting some my own idea in there. But I really believe that they went to their mother because they were trying to get a position with Jesus in this kingdom that Jesus was bringing on the scene. They went to their mother to get them to go to Jesus, to get into this position, one on the right hand, one on the left. So they were trying to go around the corner, see, to get into this position. You know what? Everybody in this room has a desire to be great. Everybody. Everybody in here. You have a desire and a longing to be great, for your life to count for something, for your life to have a purpose and meaning. Everyone longs to be great. Some people have been raised up in cultures where to be great is to not be humble. That's false humility. See, Jesus didn't have any problem with them being great, because he said, if you desire to be great, you must serve. But just before that, he says the Gentiles are great and they lord it over them. In other words, they use their authority to step on you and to walk on you and to beat you down to raise it above to get their position. You see what I'm saying? That's what they're doing. And that's the way the world system works. See, they were in the culture of the Greek philosophy. And the Roman culture there was, you know, if I become superior, you become inferior. And that's what John and James were up to. They wanted to get an edge over the rest of the 10 of the disciples. Remember, it says, when they heard it, they were displeased. They didn't know. See, they told their mom, and they didn't even tell the rest of them. So they were trying to go around the corner to get this position of being great. You see, folks, but what did Jesus say? What was the first thing Jesus said? Are you willing to drink the cup that I drink from? You see that? That changes things. When you're willing to drink the cup, then you're willing to go through what it takes to get to where God is trying to take you. You see, I've been with people and, you know, a doctor will pull up in a big new Escalade type of car, you know, nice car, and they'll make remarks and, you know, negative and jealous remarks. And they're jealous. But you see, if they really knew what that doctor had to go through to get an associate's degree, to get a bachelor's degree, to get a master's degree, to get a doctor's degree, to get an internship, and all that cost and all that debt to get where they are, they need to drive whatever they want to drive, right? God bless them, amen? But are you willing to drink that cup to get what they got? You see my point? So that's what Jesus is saying. Are you willing to drink the cup? Because there's going to be some pain and there's going to be some sufferings that go with this gift that you have. But in the midst of it, I'm going to give you the power to rise above anything that's coming against you. You see that? I'm giving you the power according to the power, right? I'm giving it to you. Now, when you discover who you are, the authentic you, see, that's being uncovered. That's where greatness is. When you are answering your call and you are in your gifting, that's where greatness is. Well, what's greatness look like? Greatness comes when, as you uncover your life that's been hidden. That's when greatness shows up. Well, what's greatness? When you take your gift and you serve it, and the ultimate goal of when you serve your gift is to elevate others because you're serving. You see that? Nobody can resist somebody serving. When you serve, you just open up somebody's heart. When you serve, you begin to serve, their heart just gets tender. And you serve. They're being unraunchy towards you and mean towards you, but you're still serving. Eventually, they're gonna give in. Am I making sense? And then you elevate them. That's your goal. Now, they esteem you as being great. You don't esteem yourself as being great. They see you as being great because you elevated them and you've helped them. Who are the people who are great in my life? The people who have elevated me and helped me get to to where I am. Am I making sense? Not that I've arrived, but all through life, I think about who's the ones that's helped me. And you know, I always go back and visit my grandmother, where my grandmother lived, and I'll stand by that stream, and I'll listen to that water flow down through those mountains, and I'll stand there and bawl and just go through all kinds of emotions thinking about her and how much of an effect she had on my life. And I remember, she would go to church. If Grandpa stayed home, she was still going. She was plugged into that body, that little Baptist church down there, and she was plugged in, and she was teaching, and she was doing what she was supposed to do. And she had a major impact on my life, and I see her as being great. And you know what? There's people in this room that have been great. I esteem them as great. You see, it's not you see yourself as being great. It's when someone is serving you and serving their gift to you. That's what elevates you. Am I making sense? So he says you got to drink from the cup. Then he says you got to serve it. Humble. You got to be humble. You know, last week, this couple in the church came and their car was broken down. And they needed to get somewhere quick. And somebody in this church picked up their car, took it, and repaired their car, paid the bill, and took it to their house. Now that's serving right there. That person, if he stays on that path, he's going to discover who he is. But I'm going to tell you something. That right there is the path to greatness. They esteemed him as being great. Folks, listen to me. That's what it is. When you're humble, you see, that's what Jesus said. He said, the greatest in the kingdom is the one who's humble. Matthew 18:4. The one who's humble, come as a little child and be humble. That's the one who's going to be great in the kingdom. What's humble? Remember, what's humble mean? Humble means, is the word humus, which means earthy. Earthy means real. When you become real, when you are you, you are humble. See, when you're you, you're humble. You're becoming you. And that's the greatest thing in the kingdom. You see, you only step away from humility when you're trying to be something you're not. I remember going and visiting a friend of mine in Nashville, and he took me in the city, and you know, there's a lot happening there. And so on some of these corners, you'd see like Elvis impersonators standing there, you know, with these big collars and all this get up and, you know, just getting down on the corner. And they're really serious. They're like hoping somebody's going to come by and discover them and say, come. You see what I mean? Come and I want you to do this for me. I'm thinking, boy, if they only knew, if they would just be themselves. Here's the sidetrack. The enemy will try to get you to take. He'll try to get you to be important. And see, when you try to be important, now you have to push other people down to get to where you are. See, he wants you to be important. I go to these conferences. You know, a lot of pastors will be there. And you know, they'll come and they give you their cards. They're always handing you their card. You know, I get these cards. Dr. Bishop, Apostle, Evangelist of the High Elect. That's what it says on there. And you know, it's like, call me and I'll come minister in your church. You hear what I'm saying? It's the idea. You hear they're trying to be important. It's not about being important. It's about being humble. You see that? It's about being humble and being you. That's the greatest. See, what is an issue of being great? Can you be great and remain humble? See, a lot of times it goes to your head when you start helping people. See, the challenge is you gotta remain humble when you're helping people. That's why the more influence, remember? Lowliness. Ephesians 4. Now, go back to 2 Timothy. Paul says, for this reason, I also suffer these things. You see this? That's part of it, isn't it? You're going to go through some things, but it's actually bringing the best out of you. It's bringing the best out of you, the greatest out of you. Now look at this. This is what he says. I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. See, folks, listen to me. Why does he say, I am not ashamed? Because shame wants you to hide and cover and withdraw. When you're ashamed, it has to do with dishonor. See, when you're ashamed, you feel like you're not being honored or you're not honoring someone else. It's dishonor. So when you're ashamed, it causes you to shrink back. So I remember sometimes I'm in my house. Sometimes I walk around in my underwear. What? Yeah, that's all right. Something you do too. And when nobody's there, you might walk around in your birthday suit, right? But I'm just saying. Here's my point. One day I was in my house. Nobody else was there but Molly, my dog. Well, she ran to the door and she was barking and scratching at the door. And these people were walking by, this group, they walked through the neighborhood, you know, they're just walking. But like they stopped and I ran to get her and I had my underwear on. I went, oh, you know, it's like I was embarrassed and ashamed and I ran. I thought, wait a minute, man, my shorts are, these look like shorts. You know, I had really nothing to be ashamed of. But you see, the problem is I was concerned about what they thought. You see, a lot of times when you're going through something, we get too over-concerned about what other people think about us and what we're going through. And that brings shame. Am I making sense? Come on now. You see that? And then now you just want to hide. When Paul says, don't be ashamed. When you're going through something for the gospel, hey, hold on, get through, you're going to make it. And that's what he says. You know why? Here it is. He says, I am not ashamed, for I know. That word know there means revelation revealed, uncovered. I know. That's what that means. When you know that you are in your calling and you are doing what God has called and created you to do, you know. And nobody else has to tell you. Nobody else has to pat you on the back. Nobody, because you know. You know that you know. Do you know? Do you know? You know, folks, we can know. Say, I know. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says this. But we have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the spirit, which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. You can know, K-N-O-W, you can know what God has for you. That hidden life that's in Christ can be manifested on earth as heaven on earth, as heaven is on earth. Are you with me? The high calling, you're bringing heaven standards down to earth and you are walking in it. That's the high calling. That's the high calling. Because you know and you are persuaded that he is able to keep what you have committed to him until that day. I'm going to tell you something. When you know, I'm going to tell you something. You got a target on your back. You got a big bullseye and all cut. You are marked on your back. And the enemy is going to hit and send things at you. And God is going to sit back and let some of them fly sometimes. Because he's developing you. And he wants you to get to your destiny. Because he had it all planned out. Come on now, am I making sense? But when you're committed and you know, you're going to get there. You're going to get there. You know, too many of us want to go around the corner. We want to go another way to get something somebody else. We've seen somebody else get to. We see all the glamour and glitter, but it don't work that way. We got to go. We got to drink the cup. As you drink the cup, you're walking out what God is revealing to you. Isaiah 33, I believe it's verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge will be your stability in your time. And that comes from God. It only comes from God. As you discover who you are, you becoming the real you, the authentic you, you have authority and you have power and you have love and you have a sound mind. And fear won't have a place in your life.
Been listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Row Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellrowchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.